This mortal coil.
Now, I want you to meet a man who suffered numerous racial slurs based on how he looks and dresses, and then went on to help thousands of people from all around Australia. Amar Singh is the founder of Turbans for Australia, a charity that packs and distributes hundreds of food and grocery hampers each week for people struggling to pay their bills or affected by natural disasters. And last week, Amar was named the 2023 Australian Local Hero. Hello, Amar. Welcome to Nightlife and congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, can't say good night, otherwise we'll fall asleep, right?
We won't do that here on Nightlife. How's the past week or so treated you since you were named the 2023 Australian Local Hero?
It's been quite amazing. It's finally sunk in. Go, wow, you know, this is really big. And I've managed to reply to about 1,000 SMS that I've had, WhatsApp and emails. And like, it's been a really overwhelming feeling of how much people appreciate what we've done so far and where we are today. So it's a really humbling feeling and makes you think that everything you've done so far has been worthwhile and made a lot of people happy and you know, made a positive change in their life.
Amar, I know you've talked before about how you experienced racism here, particularly when you were younger. What do you think the young Amar Singh would think about you receiving this award?
Look, I think he'll be in shock. And never, you know, in a lifetime, you think you'll get Australian of the Year Local Hero at such a big ceremony, you know, getting to mingle with the Prime Minister at the Lord, the Governor General, and all of those VIPs and so many incredible leaders right around Australia. And thinking that one day you will actually make it here, it was never even the wildest possibility, you know, out of not a million to one.
So, Amar, take us back to when you arrived in Australia from India's Punjab state in 1998. What do you remember about your first impressions arriving in Australia?
It was beautiful. Like, I really loved how open and vast this country is. I mean, I landed in Campbelltown, but that's where I went to school, and really liked the sort of, you know, very calm lifestyle, because I come from a small town, but it was fairly busy and hectic, you know. But here it was very calm. You go for a walk, you hardly see anybody. It was a different lifestyle altogether, especially for a young mind, you know, trying to adapt to new surroundings. The way school works here is totally different to what it was in the Punjab. Like, you know, we'll carry a heavy backpack, probably weighs 5 or 7 kilos. Here you go with a couple of folders and away you go. So it was a lot of cultural shock as well, you know, settling into a new community, new culture, trying to understand the language, even though I went to a convent school back in India. So all of my subjects were in English, but having the spoken English, we didn't have much practice, although they encourage you to speak English, but didn't have the Aussie accent, and it was very hard to understand people at first. So it was a huge shock, but in the end, you know, you went to the shopping center, saw how people were just mingling around, and everyone did their own thing. A lot of positive things as well. I still remember one of the shopkeepers, the corner shop that was around my house. I would actually spent a bit of time with that lady, you know, and she would talk to me about how life is in Australia. And that was one of the very early sort of introductions for me to say, you know, Australians are very accepting. And that's when I wasn't a practicing Sikh, so I didn't have the beard or the turban. So it wasn't seen as something odd. And then after September 11, a lot changed. So that's what sort of got me to where we are today.
Yeah. I do want to get to, you know, life post September 11 and how that did become different. Why did your family come here from the Punjab?
We were economic migrants, just, you know, to have a better life. A lot of people, as you know, from India moved to other parts of the world for a better life. That's all it is. You know, we're not refugees, or we're lucky that, you know, the life is still livable there, but it's always, you know, being a human, you want to do better for your family and your future. So we moved here. And that was the big call. I didn't have much input in it. I was just told one day after finishing my year 10 back in India, I started year 11. And then I was like, oh, we're going to Australia now. And pack your bags. And like, so what does that mean? Like, is it a couple of days or a couple of months? Or, you know, will we come back or we'll not come back? It was really crazy and mind-boggling at the same time. But when we landed here, It was a different lifestyle, but it was really good. You know, can't go wrong with it.
I understand there was, however, a teacher at the school you went to in Sydney Southwest who wouldn't say your name because he thought it was too hard to say.
That's right. So I was called David. It's funny you mentioned that. The other day, my son had a competition in his class where every kid was supposed to be a glass jar. And here in the cupboard, I saw my year 12 mug that was given and actually had a name David on it. With a Campbelltown Performing Arts High School logo, David, year 2000. And I was like, you want to take this? He goes, definitely not David. So it's become a bit of a joke in the family too. But it's quite, astonishing that many people back in those days would say, oh, you need a Christian name. And that's one thing I realized after a couple of years when I started working for the then RTA, that many people, you know, were named Tony, but then their name was Giuseppe, like especially coming from the Italian and the Greek backgrounds, or Joe for something else. And we had a lot of that stuff before. So it wasn't just new to me, because we had people who had a preferred name. And you'll get a guy who actually have a totally different name in the RTA license system, and his ID would say something else. You go, oh, that's my, you know, Australian name. So quite heard quite a bit of that in my RTA days.
And so when did you ditch David?
Oh, straight away.
Right, as soon as you left school?
Even before that, it started appearing on some of my school certificates, and I was like, no, I'm not happy about this. Then I sort of told people that, you know, I'm not David. You know, my friends still joke with me, hey, David, you know, nobody called me that now, some of the school friends, but I was like, I tell them to bugger off. but, you know, I ditched it straight after, and when I went to TAFE, I said, look, you know, this is it. I'm going to really put my foot down. Nobody's allowed to call me that, because I didn't feel like that was me as a person.
We're talking to Amar Singh. Last week, he was named the 2023 Australian Local Hero in the Australia Day Awards. Now, you did, I mean, by my calculations, what you came here in 1998, you were 15. So you were 18 when the September 11 attacks occurred in 2001. How did that immediately change the way that you felt that people reacted to you?
It was a very strange moment. For me, I can exactly place where I was. I was doing my aircraft maintenance engineering course at Padstow TAFE. So I was actually sitting with a teacher, and we were looking at a little small black and white TV that was sitting on top of a cupboard. And being at Padstow TAFE, the only place where they actually teach aircraft maintenance engineering in Sydney, I was there. And then this plane teacher, like, you know, as a plane enthusiast back in the day, is like, oh, damn, this is shocking. But I didn't realize what was coming to unfold, because it was only until 2004 when I started wearing a turban and started growing my beard. All of a sudden, people, you know, didn't appreciate what I stood for, and it was seen as different.
Were you called a terrorist? Did people throw that at you?
Oh, definitely. Many times. Like, I'm walking in the streets, and some young kid will, you know, went to their grandma, oh, grandma, look, a bad person. And I'm like, what are these people teaching these kids? You know, being called terrorists just driving a truck around Sydney. So many of those times, almost it's like a joke for people, but it's not a joke for a person getting called the same thing over and over again. It's quite annoying. So that's why I thought, look, something's got to be done about this. I don't want young kids in our community growing up with these sort of taunts, because this is not Australia. This is not the accepting society we have here. So why does someone have this right to make a joke of somebody else's appearance?
Were there other Sikhs in the community who were experiencing that same kind of commentary that you were at the time?
Oh, many have, yes, reached out to me, but it's also a sense of shame. Many people don't acknowledge it. You know, they'll just sort of ignore it and move on. But then why should you be felt, made to feel like a second-class citizen? And that was my problem, that if we're all equal, we live in a harmonious society, we all, you know, live and eat and share the same food, why are we treated different? So I do hear it from a lot of people in our community where they'll get laughed at, or somebody will blow their horn, or, you know, give them a hand gesture while they're walking down the street. The one thing, you know, it's very common in our friends, if you saw somebody on the street and you beeped a horn, they wouldn't look around, because they think somebody is actually, you know, having a go at them. So that was the thing. At times you meet your friend on the road, or you might beep your horn or wave a hand, and they don't actually look up to recognize who the person is, because, you know, not many times I've had bad experiences.
I think something bad might be coming for them. Yeah. So how did all of these thoughts and these experiences come together to inspire you to set up Turbans for Australia?
It was a simple way to give back to a local society. Even in the year 2000, I was a volunteer in the Sydney Olympic Games. And before that, I volunteered many times during my school with Red Cross and on my care flight, just collecting money door to door. So it was quite off in me to say help, and I wanted to do more. So we went to set up this charity thinking, okay, let's do get, you know, many people from our community involved and get more young people involved and say, let's give back. And my belief was simple, that if there's an issue, you see it, you've got to do something about it. So for us, through this charity, was our own brand, our own thing to say, let's do this and get people involved. Because a lot of time people had this reservation trying to find volunteer work as well with the mainstream. So this was more of a in between for people to be introduced to volunteering work and say how you can make a difference in your local society.
So tell us about what Turbans for Australia does, Amar.
Turbans for Australia does a lot of things. We're a multicultural aid relief charity. We pride ourselves in getting involved in Harmony Days, multicultural events where we tie turbans, put on Punjabi Bhangra dance, which have, you know, been pretty colourful and famous. And also we get involved in these disasters, for example, the drought, the bushfires, the floods, COVID. It's just the second nature wanting to help. You know, we got involved in the bushfires. That ended up having, you know, doing 22 trips with semi-trailers going up and down the north coast of New South Wales, helping towns that I've never been to before, never knew they existed. But yet there was a need. And every time we went to one town, they said, oh, you know, you got to go a bit further down. That town's been really hard hit. And we were lucky that with my trucking experience, we were able to put together trucks, call on favours from mates and get it all together.
So, Amar, I understand that as well as wanting to give back, there was, I guess, and you've talked about getting members of your community to volunteer in an environment where they feel that, you know, they're safe and they're understood and they're respected. Is part of it as well about when you reach out to people in need, part of what you're doing is teaching them that there's nothing to worry about, you know, just because you're wearing a turban?
Exactly. I don't want somebody, my fellow Australian, you know, scared of a person wearing a turban or a hijab or a kappa. We should look beyond that piece of cloth to say it's an individual, it's a human being under there. And that's what the main part was, that we as migrants are always, you know, sort of have this notion that migrants always do everything for their own community. And I wanted to change that to say, this is my community, this is my home. If there's local issues, I want to help out in them. And that's what we did. We, in fact, only overseas aid trip project we've ever done is the cyclone in Vanuatu. Apart from that, every other project we've done has been Australian-based.
And did you find, Amar, that, you know, as a consequence of this work, you know, that idea that perhaps you'll just break down some of the preconceptions about, you know, turbans and Sikhism, do you feel like you have done that?
Look, I go by the feedback in the community. Even since getting this award, so many people have reached out to say, look, we really appreciate what you do. I went for a job interview and the guys on the panel said, oh, we know your community. They do great work during disasters. So that for me is the biggest token of appreciation of what we do, when you can see your values resonate on the other side of a random person that doesn't have any direct connection with me, but they belong to the Sikh community and they are being appreciated at their work or around their colleagues. So for me, it's really huge. And also, many young kids in our community, they really adore what I do. And they say, look, we really love seeing you on TV, that a guy with a beard and a turban can be on TV, talk about himself and the charity work and everything else. And nobody's there to say, oh, you can't be on TV because you wear a turban. So this opened up a lot of doors.
Amar Singh is with me for this Mortal Coil, the founder of Turbans for Australia. Can you tell us a bit more about Sikhism, Amar? I guess many people are familiar with the turban, but don't know so much else about the religion. Tell us a little bit about, you know, its history, where it comes from, and what the core values are.
So Sikhism is the fifth largest religion in the world. We believe in one God. It's a universal being, and that's what we worship. And we believe that every other religion is a way of getting to that one being. Our temples, our gurudwaras, they're called, are open to all. So there's food served after every prayer. And that, again, that's where the service to community comes in as well. The core tenets of Sikhism are that you meditate on the Lord's name, you sort of share your bounty with others, what you have, and also to earn an honest living. So these are the three main tenets of Sikhism, but also to serve your community. For us, I think community is not just within the Sikh community, but the community and the society we live in. So for me, going out of that, it was really amazing to get a lot of people involved. And now we have sort of in COVID, we had branches all over Australia. People really enjoyed making a positive impact to their local, towns that they lived in.
I understand there is a strong emphasis on equality as well. I mean, you grew up in those early years in India where the caste system is, I'm thinking, still very much something that exists strongly. So do you sort of put Sikhism as something quite different to, that caste system and some of those Hindu beliefs?
That's really true. Sikhism stands for equality. In terms of caste system, how everyone asks that, why are there so many Singhs? Singh is the last name given to us by our 10th prophet, Guru Gobind Singh Ji, right? So he said, every man is a Singh, which means a lion, and every woman is a Kaur, which means princess. Our last names are different. The last names in the Indian society actually identify your caste. If you're a farmer, if you're a barber, if you're a cleaner, so that's what it goes. And our gurus really emphasize that you should let go of your surname and be all the same. And that's what the equality comes in from. And Sikh, the word Sikh means a learner, and it's a gender neutral word. So it doesn't define man or a woman.
So, Amar, how many people have got the last name Singh then in the Sikh community?
Oh, mate. I mean, it's very common. Very
Right.
common. As you know, if you look at the older Yellow Pages, Singh is pretty much after Smith. And now with the community growing just over 200,000 in the last census, I think you'll see a lot more of them.
I'm just thinking, I know I went to school with a Sikh girl and I know her name was Singh as well. So, look, yes,
That's
Singhs
right.
are
I mean, a lot of people say,
everywhere.
I know such and such a Singh. Is
Yeah.
he related to you? No, mate. That's like Smith.
Yeah, that's not so impressive, is it? Now, I know you didn't always wear the turban. What's the role of the turban anyway in the Sikh religion?
So the turban has various roles within the Middle Eastern society or the Indian society as well. But for Sikhs, it's more of a religious item. It's a spiritual crown. Normally in the Indian culture as well, a lot of people wear turbans at weddings or funerals or other days of importance. But a Sikh wears a turban every day. We tie it every day in the morning, brush our hair. The turban also represents our stand against tyranny. Back in the days, when the Mughals ruled India, the guy that built the Taj Mahal, there was a notion in the society that you couldn't have a turban or a headgear if you weren't a royal status. So our gurus defined that to say everyone is equal and you can tie a turban and challenge those kings and their armies to say we have a right to dress the way we want to.
So everyone's wearing a crown. Everyone's a king.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow. Now, tell me, how many do you have?
Until last count, I think I had probably about 20 to 30 colors.
Oh,
All
wow.
different.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of blacks and grays and browns that I wear mostly, and then other different colors that go with different outfits. So it's just quite a colorful
So
day
you've got
sometimes.
your party turbans and your everyday turbans.
You could say that. I think you could say that.
Now, my understanding too is that you're not meant to cut your hair. Is that correct?
That's right. Again, it goes to the word that I used before, which most people could probably relate, is when once you get baptized as a Sikh, you're not allowed to cut your hair or any part of your body, or shave them, right? Or trim. So that's what it is. But if you're born in a Sikh faith, or you could be born in a Christian faith, and you're not practicing the faith, then you could see a person that belongs to the Sikh faith might not have a beard, or might be clean shaven, might not even have a turban at all. So again, it comes to a person of if they are practicing as a Sikh, they will have a full beard and a turban.
Now, I understand that you really started practicing Sikhism and wearing a turban in 2004. What happened around then that drew you to, I guess, becoming a practicing Sikh?
It was simple. My family, wanted me to get married and asked her, what do I want in a life partner? And growing up, even back in Punjab, religion was an important part of who I was. We used to go to the temple, the Gurdwara, do seva there, which is the selfless service, right? Cooking the meals or handing out the meal to others. So I thought, for my kids, I want them to have the religion in their life. And it was about marrying a person who was already baptized, because it's a big thing for many of our women. Baptized women don't do makeup. So, it's got to be a simpler lifestyle. And I didn't want to marry somebody and then, say to them, you must do this. I wanted a person who was already there and say, look, this is my values. This is what I want in a family. And hence I started practicing my religion as well. I said, I can't marry somebody who's religious and not be religious myself. So that was a simple notion for me to change and sort of give up drinking and eating meat and what other things and live a simple lifestyle.
And so you mentioned the women getting baptized. Do the men get baptized as well?
That's right. Yeah. So in Sikhism, it's very different. You choose when you want to get baptized. And that's your own commitment, because you'll have to, do your prayers. You'll have to forego a lot of things, like, for example, eating meat or drinking alcohol or doing drugs and other things. So it's really a choice you got to make. And if you do those things, then it's a sin and you have to go and repent.
Okay, so I would imagine you're obviously not asking then 2 and 3 year olds or babies to get baptized. It's something you'd usually wait until you're a bit older and you can really come to that decision ready to commit to it.
That's really the right way to put it. The little kids will say, for example, my kids, my little one's 3, my older one's 10. They know they don't eat egg or meat, but yet they're not being forced to say you must be this. So. And that was part of my reason why I started turban, that if my son grows up to be a baptized Sikh where he has a beard and a turban, I don't want somebody on the street saying, oh, go back home. He was born right here in Bankston Hospital. So how much more Australian can you get? And that was part of me, that if he chooses to be a Sikh, he shouldn't be looked upon differently. So that's where I'm going.
Wow. And so kids aren't full. What age generally would children start wearing turbans? Or is that something that what you would just do when you're baptized? How does that all work?
No, the turban you can still wear. So the little kids wear something called a patka, which is a bandana, because, we all have long hair. So the kids will wear a bandana to school, like my son does. And at about 12, 14, they'll start tying a smaller turban, or when we go to our Gurdwara, then we tie a turban on him as well. He might say, oh, I want to wear this color turban to match dad or mum at religious occasions. And that's perfectly normal. But then they generally, take it off after a while. They get, being kids, running around the temple and playing with other, the kids their age. So it's perfectly normal.
Yeah. Amar Singh, founder of Turbans for Australia, also the 2023 Australian local hero, is here on Nightlife. Is there a day of worship for Sikhs?
There are many days of worship, but generally speaking, here in Australia, the main services at the Gurdwara are Saturday and Sunday and some of the weekdays, but then they usually will have a small prayer on the day of importance. For example, if it's a birth anniversary of a guru or something historic, or our Vaisakhi, which is the birth of Khalsa, when the 10th guru baptized the Sikhs back in 1699. So that is our biggest festival, which happens around Easter.
And you, how many volunteers do you have in Turbans for Australia?
Look, we've got close to 300 volunteers all over Australia that work with us. We've even had the ADF helping us out during the COVID lockdown. And we used to have a good time with them, really get to know all those servicemen and women from right around Australia who were helping in the COVID relief. And it's just a glorious time, although it was miserable, but it was good to work with them. Not every day you're going to get a chance to work with the ADF in such a great way.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the plan for this year now, Amar?
This year planned a big. I'm already getting asked a lot to do keynote speeches at different places. Apparently, my simple words with the address that I did in New South Wales and my speech, acceptance speech at the awards, really resonated with a lot of people. So people liked what I said because it was everyone's story. I had heard from many people who said, "Look, I'm a migrant. I could see your story." So for me, that was the sort of the golden moment. But as a charity, we're going to be busy. We've set up a center in Thomastown, Victoria, as well. We've got a food van that runs in Brisbane. We've got a main center here in Clyde, Western Sydney. So the idea is to grow and expand our services to community that needs that. Plus, we're still doing our flood relief work in the Northern Rivers.
Wow. All right. Well, no rest for you, Amar, obviously.
I think so. We're very busy year ahead, but I think it's good. What we've designed in Turbans, having a transport site to our charity as well, is that we can go from A to Z. Because Australia is a big country. We need those trucks to move donations around and reach those towns when disasters hit. And that's what I think really my mission has been, trying to educate the government that we need the sustainability behind these projects. Because when disasters happen, local charities in the local towns are the same people. You know, if somebody's house is flooded or burned in the bushfires, they're the same people that run the Lions Club or are part of the local ACS. So they all suffer. And that's why external help has to arrive in time.
Mm-hmm. And Amar, just on a personal note for you, I mean, I know you already are someone that the younger people in the community look up to, but I imagine having this award now gives you a chance to really influence younger people in your community and help them along the right path.
Definitely, I think we have a lot of good people in our community, a lot of young kids that we get to do public speaking in some of our events or MC. So that's my way of getting them involved, to say, look, this is your community. You've got to take ownership. You can't just sit outside thinking I'm a Sikh or I'm Indian or whatever nationality you are, that I'm not Australian. Everyone should be proud of being Australian, because we belong in this land as well.
Absolutely. Amar, thank you so much for joining us on Nightlife tonight. Congratulations again. Di on the RSMS said, good on you. The work you're doing is great. So there's a tick of appreciation.
Thank you. It's been really nice to be on your show, and I really appreciate it. And I think now we can finally say goodnight, or at least for me, right?
Absolutely. All right. Well, off you trot maybe to bed, I guess. I'll keep on going. All right.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.
Bye. That is Amar Singh, founder of Turbans for Australia, a Sikh from Western Sydney, who has been named this year's Australian Local Hero.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.